The Black Swan, Disc 11.
God's Error.
A much more worrisome aspect of the discussion is that in Quetelet's day, the name of the Gaussian distribution was La Loi des Erreurs, the Law of Errors, since one of its earliest applications was the distribution of errors in astronomic measurements. Are you as worried as I am? Divergence from the mean, here the median as well, was treated precisely as an error. No wonder Marx fell for Quetelet's ideas. This concept took off very quickly. The ought was confused with the is, and this with the imprimatur of science. The notion of the average man is steeped in the culture attending the birth of the European middle class, the nascent post-Napoleonic shopkeeper's culture, chary of excessive wealth and intellectual brilliance. In fact, the dream of a society with compressed outcomes is assumed to correspond to the aspirations of a rational human being facing a genetic lottery. If you had to pick a society to be born into for your next life, but couldn't know which outcome awaited you, it's assumed you would probably take no gamble. You would like to belong to a society without divergent outcomes. One entertaining effect of the glorification of mediocrity was the creation of a political party in France called Pujadism, composed initially of a grocery store movement. It was the warm huddling together of the semi-favored, hoping to see the rest of the universe compress itself into their rank, a case of non-proletarian revolution. It had a grocery store owner mentality, down to the employment of the mathematical tools. Did Gauss provide the mathematics for the shopkeepers?
Poincaré to the rescue.
Poincaré himself was quite suspicious of the Gaussian. I suspect that he felt queasy when it and similar approaches to modeling uncertainty were presented to him. Just consider that the Gaussian was initially meant to measure astronomic errors, and that Poincaré's ideas of modeling celestial mechanics were fraught with a sense of deeper uncertainty. Poincaré wrote that one of his friends, an unnamed eminent physicist, complained to him that physicists tended to use the Gaussian curve because they thought mathematicians believed it a mathematical necessity. Mathematicians used it because they believed that physicists found it to be an empirical fact. Eliminating unfair influence. Let me state here that, except for the grocery store mentality, I truly believe in the value of middleness and mediocrity. What humanist doesn't want to minimize the discrepancy between humans? Nothing is more repugnant than the inconsiderate ideal of the Übermensch. My true problem is epistemological. Reality is not mediocristan, so we should learn to live with it.
The Greeks would have deified it.
The list of people walking around with the bell curve stuck in their heads, thanks to its Platonic purity, is incredibly long. Sir Francis Galton, Charles Darwin's first cousin and Erasmus Darwin's grandson, was perhaps, along with his cousin, one of the last independent gentleman scientists, a category that also included Lord Cavendish, Lord Kelvin, Ludwig Wittgenstein, in his own way, and to some extent, our uber-philosopher Bertrand Russell. Although John Maynard Keynes was not quite in that category, his thinking epitomizes it. Galton lived in the Victorian era when heirs and persons of leisure could, among other choices, such as horseback riding or hunting, become thinkers, scientists, or for those less gifted, politicians. There's much to be wistful about in that era. The authenticity of someone doing science for science's sake without direct career motivations. Unfortunately, doing science for the love of knowledge doesn't necessarily mean you'll head in the right direction. Upon encountering and absorbing the normal distribution,
Galton fell in love with it. He was said to have exclaimed that if the Greeks had known about it, they would have deified it. His enthusiasm may have contributed to the prevalence of the use of the Gaussian. Galton was blessed with no mathematical baggage, but he had a rare obsession with measurement. He didn't know about the law of large numbers, but rediscovered it from the data itself. He built the quincunx, a pinball machine that shows the development of the bell curve, on which more in a few paragraphs. True, Galton applied the bell curve to areas like genetics and heredity, in which its use was justified, but his enthusiasm helped thrust nascent statistical methods into social issues.